grateful. Lord, I'm grateful.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
'cause I'm grateful. Hallelujah, hallelujah, because I'm grateful.
I lift my hand.
I lift my hands because I'm grateful.
Say amen, somebody. I want to thank the Lord for our praise team. Amen. And the musicians, Dr. Longo, and your leadership in the music department. Music is a message in song. And I pray for our praise team every day that when they sing, that they will take it serious, that they're ministering to God's people. So we want to thank all of our musicians, John, for doing such a wonderful job here at Southside. I think we have one of the best praise teams in Bakersfield. Our praise team is awesome, awesome. And I thank the Lord for them. I have a couple of announcements I'd like to go over again. In response to the recent killings and family loss, Pastor Oscar Anthony, who is the director of the Ministerial Alliance here in Bakersfield, is calling all Christians to prayer Tuesday, July the 12th, this coming Tuesday at 6 p.m. He's calling a gathering of clergy and Christians to meet by the Liberty Bell on Truxton and Chester. Many cities are doing this. I was online with Oakwood College, Oakwood University. The president there had a call in. Many people are responding to this recent disaster that has happened. And you're welcome to come out and join the community in prayer Tuesday, July the 12th at 6 p.m. Tuesday, July the 12th. As you know, this week many are preparing for camp meeting. And myself, I will be leaving, I believe Tuesday is when I will be leaving, going to SoCal. And we will still have service here at Southside on the next two Sabbaths. We still will have our service here at Southside for those who are not going to camp meeting. I want to thank you for praying for Linda. My wife, she's recovering nicely after her surgery in her eyes. I thank the Lord for that. We were at the doctor's office, and she got all of her stitches out of her eyes, and she will be able to see a lot better. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you for your prayers. She misses church, but she says she's not quite ready. Her eyes are still a little swollen, so she's not quite ready yet. I miss her being here. And also, I appreciate Dr. Longo for being on the committee and giving us that report about our renovation of the church. You know, it's not the highest priority here, but it's on the list. And we want to thank you for your giving. Many of you who are sacrificing, giving toward the beautification of God's sanctuary. And that's important in this community, is that when we invite our friends and loved ones here in the community, it's nice to have a beautiful sanctuary that's well kept, and we look forward to the day when everything will be complete. We're still sending out letters for our donations, so if you know of anyone who would like to donate to our renovation 2016, just contact us and we will give you the information. You can also go online to GoFundMe. There's an account there, and also your regular online giving. Some of you pay your tithes on our online giving. There is an area where you can pay and donate towards our renovation fund on the online giving site. And we appreciate that. We had some numbers, some giving and donations come in just this past week. The treasurer was sharing with me. So God is blessing us. He's blessing us as we move ahead. As we move ahead, we want everything to be done by October the 8th. That's our homecoming. And we want everything to look nice by October the 8th. So we thank you again for your giving. Well, communion is today. I'm glad that we're changing our focus on today. And it's been one of those weeks. We heard our president get up and make some remarks on the killings this week. And it's been somewhat of a whirlwind of pain and death this week. We lost the lives of Fernando Castile and Austin Sterling. And I don't have the names of the officers that were the lives that were lost. I don't have their names with me, but there were five of them. And so we mourn the loss of those this week, and we pray for our country. We pray for our country, but we, as people of prophecy, we know the end of the story. We've read the book of Revelation, books of Matthew, the 28th chapter, that tells us about the signs of the end, 24th chapter. And we know the end of the story. We know that these things are going to happen. But the Bible constantly teaches us to fear not. I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Amen. Those words of comfort that the scriptures give us, that the word of God gives us. We must read the scriptures. We must study the scriptures because they give us hope open up your Bibles on your phones or on your iPads and read the Blessed Hope. Read the scriptures. Read the scriptures and read the promises of God. He says, let not your heart be troubled. As we look at all the killings and the mourning and the grief in the country, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in me, believe in God, believe also in me. Then he goes on to promise us another place that he has for us. Let not your heart be troubled. I've had to change my sermon because of the events this week. I was asking the Lord, just give me a message today that would reflect on the problems we have in this country. And as we try to untangle all these things that have happened this week, and help me not to lose focus on what you want me to say this morning. And I thank the Lord that he's given me a message to preach this morning, coming from the book of Philippians. I want to turn your attention toward the book of Philippians this morning as we look into our title, Give Attention To But Focus On. Give attention to, but focus on. Could you say that with me? Give attention to, but focus on. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this moment in time when your people have gathered together in your sanctuary to worship and praise your holy name. This Sabbath day, Lord, this day that you have provided for us, a day of rest to come aside and rest our minds and lay aside our bills and our worries, Lord, to come and commune with you this morning. Today, Lord, is a very special day. Today is a day of communion, a day of inventory and renewal, Lord, a day to look at the cross of Jesus and what you have done for us, Lord. That sacrifice on Calvary for our redemption, Lord. We thank you for Jesus and his blood. Open up our hearts and our minds today for your word. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Give attention to, but focus on. And I was impressed to talk a little bit about what we're going to be experiencing today in our ordinance of humility, our foot washing service. And I want to focus on Jesus and his humility. Humility, when we hear the word humility, a lot of us like to think of it as a person who's quiet and who's soft-spoken, sitting in a rocking chair with a gray sweater on, and just a modest person, greeting and a warm person. He's a nice guy who he doesn't take any praise. He deflects all the praise and makes everyone else feel good. Humility, Mr. Humility. But for the Christian, virtue is better called fruit. And rather than be the recipient of our own self-righteousness, you know, we like to be self-righteous. Humility comes from being in touch with the Holy Spirit. It does not come from us. It comes from the one above. It comes from the man Christ Jesus, the gospel paints for us the scene, and then Paul's letter to the Philippians gives us the explanation. Let's turn to Philippians, the second chapter. Paul is exhorting, Philippians 2, verses 5, we're going to start. Paul is exhorting the church in humility, the mind of Christ. And Paul here, counting others more significant, Paul has said, look to the interest of others. And this is one of the functions of humility. Verse 3 and 4 of chapter 2 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you, verse 4, look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. That goes against our selfish nature right there. Then comes its essence in Christ, as we look at verse 5. Let's see how Christ's character was. Being in the form of God, he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Read verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a what? Bondservant. And coming in the likeness of men. We're talking about Jesus. Verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, God the Father exalted Jesus, and given him the name which is above what? Every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Isn't he a wonderful Savior? Not counting equality with God a thing to be grasped. But Jesus made himself nothing. He left heaven. You know, and you hear people talking about, oh, Jesus was wealthy on this earth. Jesus had money. Jesus said, listen, Jesus came from heaven. See, Jesus came from heaven. Jesus didn't worry about having money on this earth. What are you talking about? Jesus had money on this earth. Jesus came from heaven. He came from heaven. And the Bible says, not counting, but he humbled himself. For us, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, humbling himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, what is that? And here's one way to feel this humility that Jesus went through. The text says, therefore, because Jesus did all of this, because he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, God has highly exalted him, God the Father, highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Above every name. Verse 9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Every name. There it is. Jesus, in his divinity, he's had this name the whole time for all of eternity. He had the name in heaven. It's just that since taking human nature, nobody said it. Nobody recognized it. Jesus has forever been Lord and forever will be Lord. But when he left glory for this earth, so to speak, he traded the sound of angels' songs for the insults of sinful men. He exchanged the heaven-tuned chorus for hell-tainted cursing. Though he had always been known as the blazing center of his father's affection, these scoundrels down here started calling him bastard. And he loved us enough not to stop it. And here shines the humility of Jesus. He refused to vindicate his own identity, and he yielded that to his Father. He knew who he was. He knew the Father knew who he was, and he knew that one day, through the path of his suffering as the God-man, everybody would know who he was. And because we live in such a twisted world, a twisted world, God has left this awesome responsibility up to us through our characters and through our human nature to try to be examples to the world that he is still Lord. Can we even begin to understand how twisted sin made the world? It's just chaos. And here you have the only righteous man to ever live, the only man who lived a perfect life, was killed as a criminal and imposter. He was Yahweh in the flesh. The one who deserves our ceaseless worship was instead derided, meaning criticized. Yahweh in the flesh, the one who deserves our highest praise, was instead mocked. He was mocked. Yahweh in the flesh, the one who deserves our unashamed adoration, was instead reviled. And what did he say? What did he do? He didn't ask for the 12 legions of angels who were armed and ready for his call. Nope, he didn't ask for them. He didn't make any appeals that were in his right. What did he do? What did Jesus do when he was paraded among those people and slapped in his face and people spat in his face? What did he do? he just stayed silent. The song says he never said a mumbling word. He never said a mumbling word. It was in all of this mayhem when the worst event in the history of humanity befell him. When utter pandemonium broke out on earth. It was there that we see the most glorious demonstration of what it means to be humble. It was in that gruesome sight that we see the wonders of our King displayed in the midst of all that on earth that was happening back then. And so it will be for us many times. For us, we will go through the same. A disciple is not above his master, Matthew 10:24. And the situations that most require our humility will be far from tamed. Things that will test our humility in life. I was tested this week. You were tested this week. Remaining humble, remaining Christ-like in the midst of what has gone on this week. The situations that most require our humility will be far from tamed. It will be the unbecoming times, frustrated moments when the stress shoots high and our experience feels so grossly disproportionate to the peace that awaits us. It will be when we're angry over something, feeling wronged by this or that, finding ourselves too easily offended than we'd ever dare admit. It will be when we're left to our own thoughts, left to fume or forgive, when no one else is watching except our Savior who paved the way. It will be times like this week when we're tested, when we're touched emotionally, when we see our brothers on the ground, abused and shot, killed innocently, when we see our men in blue from a sniper's bullet, lives taken, families of police officers, how do you think they feel? When your husband doesn't come home, he's out trying to protect society. It will be those times that our humility is tested. But like Jesus, we have to remain humble. And how did he do it? He was there in the upper room teaching his disciples how to be humble. When they were gathered there in the upper room, Jesus took the form of a servant. Now, servant is not a bad name. Servant, you can be a servant and not be servile. See, Jesus was not servile. He was a servant. See, being servile means that you go around with your head down. You don't think much of yourself. That's being servile. But Jesus calls us to be servants. We know who we are. We're sons and daughters of the Most High. We don't have to hang our head and shuffle and not think much of ourselves and still be a servant. Jesus was the most humble servant that the world ever knew. Yet he had so much self-esteem. He knew exactly what his purpose was in life. He knew who he was. We don't have any reason, young men, to feel bad about our color or ourselves. Don't go around with your head hanging down because society thinks less of you. Young man, young black man, you are a child of the King. Young woman, lift your head up. You are somebody. Doesn't matter what society says and how they treat you. You're a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And John says, what kind of love is this that we should be called the sons and daughters of God? That's a high calling. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, we're servants. But I'm a servant with my head up. I can serve you with my head up. I can feel good about myself and serve you too. Praise God. And that's what this ordinance of humility is all about. We're going to experience today. Being a servant of God. Being humble. Being like Christ, who left heaven. My Lord, left the loftiness of heaven, the perfection of heaven, and came down to this musty old stinking decrepit world. Of course, he created a perfect world, but look what we did to it. Messed it up. And then he came down to this messed up world and lived a perfect life to set the example for us to follow. And all he asked us to do is believe on him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that what? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Whosoever. Them out there in the gutter. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a promise in God's word today. Man, it's not fair. You know, we give so little and get so much. I don't understand how we could just give so little and then God gives so much. It's not balanced. It's just not a balanced scenario when you look at it. We get so much. We get eternal life, you guys. That's what we're going to get, eternal life. This is just a few years down here. Don't get hung up on this life down here. Don't serve money. This is not it. This is not it down here. It's up there. It really is. You may not feel like you deserve things on this earth and you deserve more. You're going to get it. Sister Morgan, are they going to get it? You're going to get it. Just wait. Live your little 70 years if you make it there, 80 years. Listen, you know, we're going to get much more than what we suffer down here on earth. Your little sufferings, I know you've been in the hospital, you've been sick, you have pain and suffering, you lost this, you lost that. Okay. And then what do you get? Come on. You see what I'm saying? It's worth it. Your little sufferings down here, it's worth it. It's worth it. Don't get caught up on your life down here. You didn't suffer like Jesus. Your little sufferings are, you know, I don't want to say I don't care about your little sufferings, because I do. But don't get caught up in your own little world, your little suffering world, your little victim world. Okay, we spend so much time complaining about ourselves. Oh, my leg, my eye, my back. I've been in the hospital. Listen, your sufferings can't compare to what you're going to get one day in heaven. You know, don't allow Satan to get your focus. You lose focus when you focus in on yourself too much. Don't lose focus. The battle is won. The battle is already won. So Paul says to press on. Press on. Just keep pressing. When you fall, keep pressing. And when you trip down, just keep pressing. Paul says keep pressing. You know, you're going to get it one day. And then you'll live for eternity. If that's not a stretch of your mind, most of us can't even imagine living for eternity. Our minds can't even conceive that because we see so much death and misery on this earth. We think this is it. But to live forever and ever and ever throughout, the old elders say, throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity, in perfect health, in perfect health, perfect health, praising my Savior. Set your mind on things above. Pay attention. Don't go into your own world down here. Pay attention to what's happening. Oh, yes. Do what you can down here. Vote, protest, do what you can to improve humanity, improve this earth we talked about this morning. Be a good citizen, pay your taxes, pick up the trash. Yes. But don't lose your focus. Don't lose your focus, young people. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Education is good. College is good. Jobs are good. Money's good. Cars are good. Don't lose your focus and lose your eternal life. That's so much more than this earth down here. This little tiny little dot. You can't even see it on the scale of the universe. You can't even see earth. So tiny. But God, through his infinite mercy, came down. I don't understand it. That's the mystery. Those are the mysteries of the Godhead that we'll never understand. I want to ask him when I get to heaven, why did you do it? Why did you do it? So as we focus in, as we shift our focus off the worldly events on this Sabbath day, let's focus on Jesus. Focus on the blood he shed on Calvary. I want you to bow your heads with me. Focus on the punishment that he took. Get your mind off your aches and pains and yourself. Focus on Jesus and what he's done for you. Focus on his life, his death, his resurrection. And what he's done for you. He would have done it if you would have been the only person on this earth. Jesus would have come down and died for you. You. He loves you. Don't look for love in wrong places, young ladies, young men. Jesus loves you, and that's all that matters. He loves you so much. I want you to hear that as you bow your heads. Young ladies, don't try to find your love in young men. Don't get caught up emotionally. Don't allow the young men to this world to direct your attention. To describe what you're supposed to be. You are a child of the King. You are somebody. You're somebody that Jesus gave his own life for you. I don't know how to say it any other way. I wish I could say it more meaningful, but that's the bottom line. Jesus paid the price. He died for you and I. He loves us eternally. He gave us a way to have eternal life through believing on his son, Jesus Christ. I thank God for that as we partake in our service today. Lord, bless us. Forgive us. Help us to focus on you is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.